Welcome to a new episode of the podcast series, System Engineering Conversations. In this series, engineering professionals share their knowledge and experience on systems engineering. With this podcast series, we aim to inspire professionals and inform our students about systems engineering using current examples from the field. Fontys University of Applied Sciences is a knowledge partner within the Dutch NextGen High-Tech Systems Engineering Program. One of the ambitions of this program is to align systems engineering education for both students and professionals with the practical Dutch engineering field. The language of each episode is determined by the guest's native language. This podcast series is brought to you by the Fontys School of Engineering in Eindhoven. Your host name is Ronald Scheer, and we wish you much enjoyment listening to this episode of the podcast series on System Engineering Conversations.
Today at my table, I have Casper Marie. Welcome, Casper.
Hello, Ronald. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Casper, for the listener who does not know you yet, can you please introduce yourself briefly?
So you've already said my name, Casper, and I'm from beautiful South Africa. Been here in the Netherlands for just over 2 years and enjoying it, this lovely country. I work for a company called VDL, ETG, T&D. Quite a mouthful of acronyms, so let's unpack them a little. VDL, I think many people should know, is the Van der Leegte owned family of companies. Pretty impressive if you consider they've got thousands and thousands of people, but they're still a family-owned business. And under that, they've got a group of companies that are referred to as ETG, the Enabling Technologies Group. ETG has a rich history and advanced manufacturing because they started in Philips, actually, and VDL bought them out from Philips. That is a pretty important point because they've always acted almost as a partner to industry, almost more than a supplier, specifically to OEMs like ASML, Philips, in the high-tech industry. So that's where our markets currently is, or ETG, the semiconductor market, the high-end medical market, and similar things. The word enabling in that acronym is really key to understanding the value offering. Enabling meaning we support our customers to be competitive in their markets, not like a standard supplier who says, yes, thank you, and goodbye. So within ETG, we have T&D, which is short for technology and development. And that's where I end up. T&D is a big group, multi-site, multinational actually by now, group of engineers, systems engineers. Again, taking this notion of being a partner to our customers a step further than just the factories. The reason for existence for T&D in ETG is to act as a bridge between our customers, their needs, their desires, their expectations, their applications, and the value proposition of the ETG factories. That's again quite a mouthful. So what does that mean? T&D brings a certain set of skills to the table. The first one, in light of the next gen program that I'll mention, is systems engineering and systems architecting. Just for the sake of the audience, I'll be using those terms interchangeably. In industry, they are used a little bit all over the place, but for our purposes, we just use them as the same. The next set of skills that I'll mention is discipline engineering, specifically mechanical, electrical, software. Again, ETG has historically been a mechanical manufacturing house, so we are very strong in mechanical engineering, but the electrical engineering, the software engineering has caught up, in some cases almost become bigger than the mechanical component. And then lastly, there is a whole bunch, a slew of specialist domains. Vacuum, cleanliness, high voltage, control systems, data science, and even more. So T&D, pretty rich combination of skills and value add that we bring to the table. That's in a nutshell the company. So what do I do in the company? That's almost as involved as the company itself. I've been there for 2 years now, and my role has been progressively changing. Now, that in itself says something about the dynamic nature of T&D, that someone can come in there and in 2 years change roles and grow and do different things. I find it very exciting. So currently, my role lies on two fronts. I am myself a systems engineer or architect, working on projects. We have a very nice, interesting project. We've got multiples. I'm working on one of them. And in combination with that, I get to participate and support and facilitate our maturization and iteration of our own systems engineering processes. Obviously, I don't do that in isolation. The group leads, other systems engineers, senior architects, they all contribute, and we manage to grow this capability progressively. The last thing I think I should mention as part of my role is coaching and mentoring. I really enjoy that personally. It's a huge value add in our company, and many of our senior guys participate in that. It's almost germane to what we do. So that's me in a nutshell.
That sounds very good. And there was one acronym that you mentioned that you did not explain, OEM. Maybe some listeners don't know what it is.
Thank you for pointing that out, Ronald. OEM, Original Equipment Manufacturer. So these are the people, ASML is a very big example in our part of the world, that sells their machines to their end users. So from VDL ETG's perspective, they are the original equipment manufacturer selling the product into the market, and we help them to materialize and realize those products for sale and also for maintenance and support.
VDL is a partner for this next gen project. Can you briefly describe the project and your role?
Gladly. So NextGen is a program, a collaboration between TNO, the education institutions, Fontys being one, and industry, which includes companies like VDL, also Philips, ASML, Thales, and many others. One of our management team members, Ton Peinenberg, was instrumental in establishing this NextGen program. And the program itself aims to increase the availability and I would say the quality of the systems engineers and systems thinkers and architects that we get out of universities and education institutions. My role is basically just to participate from VDL side, based on my experience and as a representative, I'd say, from VDL, taking what we know and learn and are trying to grow and hopefully add some value to the program. And then in the medium and short term, even hopefully get more quality systems thinking with the quality engineers that we get. So the institutions, the education institutions, do a great job of giving engineers. But systems engineering and systems thinking, although being pretty simple in concept, requires practice to actually become good at it. I think we'll touch on that during the rest of the podcast. But the program attempts to accelerate that a little. And they call it the Dutch way of systems engineering. So to integrate these principles, which are universal, they're not particular to a certain culture or language, but put the Dutch spin on it, integrate it into the Dutch culture, the Dutch way of working with the rich history that the Dutch have in delivering these technologies. Again, I'll mention ASML as such a great poster for what the technology can be that comes from this part of the world.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you work in your current role for 2 years already. How was your career before that?
I would say it has been reasonably standard from a systems engineering perspective, but with a bit of a twist. I was very, very fortunate. I've started my career in my very first job as a hardware and firmware electronics engineer in a company that had a structured development process based on the principles of systems engineering. They did not explain it to me like that back then, but as you executed projects within this process, you picked up these principles and practices, and as the projects grew, you learned to adapt and tailor those processes and practices to suit the situation. But the principles always remained the same. Then I was fortunate, my career grew into more multidisciplinary, higher level, larger type systems in different applications. Moving companies a few times in that process for the sake of learning these new skills. I ended up, before coming to the Netherlands, as the technical executive of a engineering development and production company in South Africa. That was in the military market. And then got the opportunity to come to the Netherlands with my family. And we decided the timing was just right with the kids, and then joined VDL. To summarize, I would say it's almost a little bit like farming. You always look at organic produce versus non-organic, GMO. And if the price were the same, you would pick the organic one. And I believe my career, I was very lucky. I could not have planned this myself in this way, but it grew in that same way, very organically, from the ground up, where you learn the principles first, applying them in a smaller scope, a smaller constrained kind of domain, and then growing and growing that scope, becoming more complicated, but the principles remaining the same and therefore becoming more embedded in your way of working.
Yeah, now that you mention working, how is a typical working day for you?
I would say it's pretty standard to other R&D companies. The first thing, the working day starts the evening before, where you have to decide what is the big task or tasks that really need attention the next day and make sure you block out enough time, not too much, to make some progress. The calendar needs to remain open enough for other people to get hold of you. Again, this is key to success in our projects because interaction, coaching, reviewing, these things are really fundamental to making progress. We, like many other companies, struggle to keep meetings sufficiently low. So there are always many meetings and you have to get your job done between them. But practically, many discussions happen around the coffee machine, at people's desks, just informal calls. That, I would almost say, is the bulk of one's day in systems engineering and architecting. Combined with that is literally just writing things down, communicating with other people, drawing pictures. So generally speaking, what you do the whole day is problem solve and interact with others. And that combination is a nice description of what I think architects and systems engineers tend to do in general. If you enjoy that, systems engineering gives you ample opportunity. But something I should add that is maybe perhaps more unique to our company, to VDL. As I mentioned earlier, VDL is a family-owned business, but this notion of family really runs pretty deep in our culture, in our corporate, our company culture, where one typically feels that you are valuable as a person, not just as an employee. There's a high amount of empathy. I think that is pretty important for success in this industry and in the current job market, if I could use that word, we're in, where people from all walks of life, maybe rather people from all over the planet, come to the Netherlands and to collaborate here in this part of the world. That leads sometimes to some amusing situations because we're all talking in English, and for most of us, 99%, that is our second language. And you get some situations where a compliment might be interpreted as an insult. I once had the experience where I was talking to another person, also English, their second language, and I told them in a complimenting manner that I really appreciate that you're the type of person who always keeps their nose clean. Now, keeping your nose clean is just an aphemerism for someone that does their job, that pulls their weight always. But they initially interpreted to mean a reference to personal hygiene. So what I found, continually find really enjoyable about our culture is that you can be honest. So I immediately got the reaction, do you mean something about personal hygiene? And I could immediately correct the misunderstanding. And that is very much in our culture. We talk to one another, we collaborate, we sort out differences, and we move forward. And that I found really enjoyable.
And what does the interaction between systems engineers and discipline engineers look like in your company?
In the same lines as the previous mention, it's firstly pretty relaxed and informal. Many of our systems engineers grew out of the discipline engineering, being themselves mechanical engineers or electrical engineers. We also have physicists that enjoy this kind of work. It's not typical for all physicists. They are often detail-oriented, and as a systems engineer, you want more big-picture thinkers. And often the interactions are, like I said, informal, and they're just chatting at the screen. However, in complex and high-tech projects, you cannot just do it purely informally. So we have structured development processes based around the application of the so-called V model. Now, if you read literature and you look at the internet and you look at textbooks, you get many different pictures and representations and explanations of what it is. One of the misconceptions, I would say, is that people think it's all about documenting the V model. It says you write a certain document and the next one you write a different document, etc., etc. And that is a sad misconception, because the V model tries to communicate something fundamental about how we go about performing knowledge work of a creative and a generative type and nature. One of the key aspects that the V model tries to communicate is that of hierarchy, systems hierarchy. Everything consists of being a component within a larger system. We call that the context. But during design and development, there is iteration between these levels. You go from a certain level down to a more detailed level. So coming back to the question, once you come to the point where you can now implement the design, there is a mechanical picture being drawn, there is a CAD model, there is an electrical schematic, you are at a fairly detailed level in this hierarchy. The systems engineer, the architect, at that point has to engage with the detail designers to ensure that what they are implementing is aligned with the big picture thinking. Not so much technically correct. The technical correctness of the work is checked within the specialist domains, within the groups, but alignment of that work with the overall project and program objectives, that is where the systems engineer really engages with the detail designers. As I mentioned, mostly very relaxed and informal, but we also are adopting more tooling to support us. We recently adopted a tool called Top Team, which you could say is a step towards model-based systems engineering, a little bit away from the classical document-centric approach, which VDL used in the past. I think it's important maybe to add that very much in our culture, but also very much fundamentally, the tools do not replace the thinking, and the tools do not replace the interaction and the personal collaboration between team members. They do facilitate it, they assist in structuring it, but by no means replace it or even take the front seat. The tool is there to support the thinking and the people, not the other way around. And I would say that's, again, in a nutshell, how that interaction occurs.
Yeah. And there's another role within your company. That's the role of the project manager. So how does the interaction between the systems engineer and the project manager, how does that look like in your company?
Great question. Again, I would say not very dissimilar to other companies. We usually have the architect looking after the technical aspects of the project, while the project manager takes responsibility for time and money. So during planning and design, the architect would do the product design, the product breakdown structure, as we call it, while the project manager then takes that as an input and turns that into a work breakdown structure. The project manager then has to take that further, but never in isolation. Things like the schedule, things like supplier management is usually done in a collaboration between the architect and the project manager. So again, that theme of we do things together, we collaborate, comes through very strongly. Personally, I'm not so much a fan of breaking the responsibility between technical and budget and time as is done, because of the principle of the iron triangle, as they call it in project management, where quality, budget and schedule are integrally linked to one another. However, in practical terms, big projects, like most of our projects tend to be, require multiple people to lead the project simply because of the amount of effort that is necessary. So in practice, what happens is the roles tend to blur a little bit between an architect and a project manager, but broadly speaking, we stick to architect is with quality and performance, project manager, schedule and budget, and the two of them together manage the team and tries to maintain clarity and progress and momentum in the project.
And there's another question that comes to my mind. The question is there a strategic impact, at least on technology level, to systems engineering and architecting in your company?
I would say definitely. So although the impact is not always strictly linear or even visible at the outset, the comparatively flat structure of our company means that there is a lot of interaction between our management team and our project leadership teams. So that creates a situation of almost natural and again organic flow of information between these, if you want to call them, levels in the organization. And that in terms, of course, informs management decision making about technology strategy and our direction in the company. We go a little bit further than that. There is funding for competence development available, which is very nice. Not all companies necessarily have that in the same measure. So if an engineer or anybody else has a competence that they think is very valuable, they can motivate that to management and take that a step further, and in that way directly contribute to our, maybe not strategic, but at least tactical progression. And lastly, VDL arranges so-called technology days once a year or once in 2 years, which again provides an opportunity for engineers at all levels to interact with management and facilitate and spark these discussions about where we go and how we go about it.
Yeah, you mentioned development of your engineers or maybe even specifically system engineers and architecting. Can you explain more about the development?
So that's a topic that lies pretty close to my heart personally. And I'm also glad to say that VDL provides many opportunities for growth for all employees, not just engineers and systems engineers. The first thing that actively happens, I've referred to it previously, is the coaching. This is very fundamental to our way of working, where our so-called group leads that manage the engineers are involved and coach the engineers in not only the technical aspects, but also in the way of working and in general problem solving and application of these principles. More recently, because we have grown so rapidly in the last few years, there is also more emphasis on the senior engineers to play such a coaching and facilitating role to assist in the growth of the younger up-and-coming engineers. Another key part that the group leads play in this process of development is matching people's aspirations to the gaps in the company. So with the rapid growth and the markets and the nice projects we have, there are ample opportunities for people to get involved. Not all people have the same aspirations, the same desires, the same skills, and our group leads attempt to marry those two things together. Then obviously we send people on training courses. There's enough opportunity for that. Our biggest problem is almost finding the right courses to keep people growing and excited. And we've also, in the past, and even more so now, created our own training materials where we take industry standard best practices, and we try to translate them into what is valuable in our specific situation. Again, bringing back to the start of our conversation about enabling our customers. So we don't want to necessarily be tied to one methodology and one textbook, because that doesn't work for all our customers in the same way. And our own training materials, which we then provide both formally and informally to the engineers, facilitate that learning and growing and germinating almost of those skills in the minds of our people.
Yeah, well, the way you talk about it, you seem very enthusiastic about your work and also about your cooperation with your clients. I guess we can talk for a very long time, but maybe it's best that I ask you, is there anything that I did not ask, or would you like to add something?
I would say the last thing to mention, systems engineering is often construed as something very complex. If you read definitions on the internet, they are very elaborate, and some of them tell you what is a system as an interacting set of components for a purpose, and talk about multidisciplinary and all of that. But I sincerely believe you can bring it back to something much simpler, where you define systems engineering as simply the integration or incorporation of the so-called system concept with the engineering method. The system concept, people can go and read up, but is really in itself pretty simple. Everything exists within a context. Everything has a life cycle. It has a start and an end, and it changes its form during that process, almost like metamorphosis in an insect. And the engineering method is really nothing else than the general problem-solving method. Start by understanding the problem, generate several ideas, pick the best one, implement it, evaluate it. So, both of those concepts, the system concept, the engineering method or problem-solving method, are pretty simple in their own right. But getting good at them can take a lifetime of trying and learning and growing. So to close that off, I would say the key message for me is the ubiquity of the principles that we now call systems engineering, but how they apply beyond just high-tech products. They can equally apply in business, although some people will disagree with me on that. The practices might not apply in business. The practices might not apply in your personal life, but the principles of thinking about the context of a problem apply as much to a high-tech project as to your personal budget at home.
I did not look at it that way. So that's a nice way to frame it. Is there a book or anything to read that you can that you like about this topic and that you can mention here so that our listeners can read the same book?
There are a lot of material available, both online and in textbooks. But if I had to choose just one, I would recommend the textbook by Dennis Beede from Wiley called The Engineering Design of Systems, Models and Methods. People can look that up. I almost think there might be a free PDF available online. I'm not sure.
And also, do you have an advice for the listener who would like to more about this topic by listening to other podcast series?
I would say I have more of a tip for how to listen to podcasts in general. If you look at podcasts like the Huberman Lab podcast, which is all about health science, and the Ray Dalio's podcasts and writings about principles for business, microeconomics, and life, in all those, you can again glean principles of the system concept that you can then apply in your high-tech projects. Asking yourself questions like, can you hear the context for the mechanism or the thing that they are describing? Can you hear the emphasis on the purpose of the thing? And can you hear the interaction of this thing that they are describing with other things in its context and in its environment? So from this perspective, you can think of systems thinking, which is the foundation for systems engineering, as an extension to critical thinking. And that, I think, as a skill, will make the world a better place.
And is there someone that you would like to listen to as one of my next guests in this podcast series.
I would say if you can get hold of him and find space in his calendar, talking to Ton Pijnenburg would be great. His views on technology development are always inspirational, to say the least.
Okay, and one of my final questions in all the podcast series that I produce is always, how did you like this conversation? And how? And this is your first podcast recording, so what's your idea?
Ronald, I found it very insightful and very enjoyable, so thank you very much for having me. It's obviously a topic I enjoyed talking about, and I tried my best not to talk too much because I could have continued for hours more, but sincerely appreciate it, really enjoyable.
And as a final question, if we look at the next gen system engineering project, what's your hope for the near future within this project?
I would say two things. The one would be obviously that we get these principles ingrained in young people's minds as they come into the workplace, because that will greatly assist our projects and also their own personal development, as I've mentioned. And secondly, I'm not sure whether that would be the main priority for the program, but implicitly more alignment between the industry and the universities on simple things like terminology and what we mean with a certain role, calling someone a systems engineer. Those would be my two big hopes, I would say.
Well, thank you very much for this conversation, Casper. It was awesome. You know a lot about this topic.
Thank you, Ronald. Yeah, a lot of late nights and a lot of reading.
And for the listener, I would like to thank you as well for listening all the way to the end. Do not forget to subscribe, because there will be new episodes real soon.